Hello everyone, today's daf is daf Vav. Today's daf will be for the Refuah Shalom of David ben Rachel and Shlomo ben Sarah. Today's daf, we're on the top of Vav Amud Aleph on the first line. Amar Rava, met b'yom tov rishon yitasku ba'amamim, met b'yom tov sheni yitasku ba'Yisrael. If you have a person who dies and is standing to be buried on the first day of Yom Tov, the Gemara says that the goyim should bury him. First of Yom Tov is accepted that the non-Jews should be the ones to bury him and break Yom Tov for him. Whereas if a person died and they are standing to be buried on the second day of Yom Tov, itasku bo Israel, the Jews should bury him himself. Va'afilu shebishnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, and even on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, if that happens, the Jews would be able to do it on the second day. Masha in ken bebeitza, which is not the same thing as a beitzah, as the egg, where we were not lenient on the second day of Yom Tov for a beitzah, and we said it's one long day. This is a huge machloket Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, if we say that even on the second day of Yom Tov, if a person needs to be buried, that the Jews should do him, the Jews should bury him. The Ramah says that if there are goyim that can do it, let the goyim do it. Right, in halacha, of course, we know like the Sfaradim, we say like the Shulchan Aruch, and if it's in a situation where a person is standing to be buried on the second day of Yom Tov, like the Gemara says, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would be itesku bo Yisrael, the Jewish people will be the ones to bury the body. Now, the Gemara says, Nehardai Amre, the people of Nehardai would say, Afa bebeitza, even with the case of the egg, it would be mutar if it was born, let's say it was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it would be mutar on the second day. Demada'atich, because what do you think? Why would you forbid it on the second day? The Gemara says, Dilma me'abrele le'elul, what are you, perhaps maybe we're afraid they're going to make elul me'ubar, they're going to establish elul as an extra day in the month of Elul, and therefore the first day of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, will be pushed off one day. Just like we had in the takana, the initial establishment, where Rashi says, "Ketakana rishona limnot miyom sheni v'asos shnei amim," to count from the second day and to do 2 days of Yom Tov, kigon shelo ba'u ad yom shloshim ve'echad, as if the witnesses did not come until the 31st day, like our initial establishment. He says, "Ha'amar Rav Chanina," Rav Chanina says, "Bar Kahana, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, mimot Ezra ve'elach lo matzino elul me'ubar, from the days of Ezra and on, we never saw the month of Elul that became me'ubar, that had an extra day added to it." So Rashi says, "Ve'afal pi shetiknu lo era shebau edim min mincha l'mala." Even though they made this takana, this decree, it never happened that the edim came from mincha time and on. Chutz me'ota apam, except for that one time that we said the Leviim messed up in the shir. Ba'adain lo nitkena vechule vechule. Rashi continues, but so simply speaking, that we're not afraid that Elul would be me'ubar and they would add an extra day, and for that reason, the Nehardai say that it only happened one time, and the beitzah actually would be permitted if it was laid on the first day, would be permitted to be eaten on the second day. Now the Gemara says, Amar Morzutra says, Lo amaran ela de ishtahe. When do we say all of this, that the Jewish people should be the ones to bury him on the second day? Is only if it was delayed to the second day. But if it wasn't delayed to the second day, let's say it just happened that he died on the second day, we delay the process and we push it off till after Yom Tov. So generally speaking, it's only if, let's say, the dead body, the person died before, and it ended up being delayed until the second day of Yom Tov, that's when we bury the body. Why? Rashi says, "Mitereshe lo yasriach." We don't want the body to, you know, smell and to rotten out. Whereas if it wasn't delayed and it died on the second day of Yom Tov, we would push it off till after Yom Tov. Rav Ashi Amar, afagav de lo yishtahe, nami lo mashinale. Rav Ashi says, even if it wasn't delayed, we still don't delay it after, meaning even though it wasn't a delayed death and it happened on that same day, on the second day of Yom Tov, we don't delay it, we don't push it after Yom Tov, we do it bo bayom, we bury the body. My tama, what's the reason? Yom Tov Shin'i, legabei met kechol shaviyo rabanan. The second day of Yom Tov, with regards to a dead person, the Chachamim considered it like completely chol, it was a mundane day and not Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, "Afilu le megaz le glima," even to cut for the body shrouds, or le megaz le asa, or to cut for the body, you know, like myrtle branches, like a hadas, that they would put on the body of the dead, that would be mutar as well, even on the second day of Yom Tov. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, "Vahayid nadika chavare chashinat." Ravina says, nowadays, where we have these people called the chavare, these people were, Persian priests. They were very wicked type of people, and they would force the Jewish people to do work if they saw them working. So had they seen the Jewish people working on the second day of Yom Tov, taking the body to be buried, they would have forced the Jewish people to work. So they were. Ravina says, we wouldn't do it nowadays. We would push the burial till after Yom Tov. Ravina hava yativ kameh de Rav Ashe. This is a girsa change. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashe, b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, on the 2 days of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. Chazied hava atziv. He saw that he was upset. Amarle, am I atziv more? He asked his the master, he said, why are you upset? Amarle, telo ativi erovei tavshilin. He says, because they didn't prepare erovei tavshilin. What is erovei tavshilin? Just in short, you take two tavshilin, two cooked dishes, and you make it as an eruv. If, let's say, the 2 days of Yom Tov fall out on Thursday and Friday, and Yom Tov would go straight into Shabbat, it would give you permission to connect Yom Tov to Shabbat, to allow you to cook on the second day of Yom Tov for Shabbat. That's what an Eruv Tavshilin is. So he says, they forgot to make for me an Eruv Tavshilin. Amarle velotiv mor ha'idna. He says, why don't you make the Eruv now? You can make Eruv Tavshilin even now on Yom Tov. Milo amar Rava. Did Rava not say, maniach adam Eruvei Tavshilin Yom Tov lechavera umatneh? They are allowed to place Eruv Tavshilin even on Yom Tov and make a condition. Right, so how does the condition work? Rashi says, "B'yom tov rishon, v'u chamishi b'shabbat." Says it's on Thursday. Thursday is the first day of Yom Tov. V'al tnai hu omer, and you make it a condition. What's the condition? Yom hayom hu chol. He says, if today is really not Yom Tov, it's a safek, we keep it. So he says, if today is really not Yom Tov, ul machar kodesh, and Friday is really kodesh, ye eruv, then it would be an eruv, right? You're allowed to make, I mean, technically speaking, you're not allowed to make an eruv on Yom Tov. But he's saying, if when it's 2 days of Yom Tov, where it's only out of safek, you can make this tonight. Let's say one of them is chol. So if the first day is chol, then my real eruv is done on the first day. V'im hayom kodesh, and if today is really not chol, and today is really a holy day, ul machar chol, eino tzarech lekach, and then Friday would be the day that's chol in the Tanai, then he doesn't even need the Eruv. It's, his words don't even count for anything because he can cook on Friday. It's not even Yom Tov. So technically speaking, this condition would work, and that's what he told him to do. So Amar Le, he said to him, Emar da Amar Rava b'shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot. He answered him and he said, Rava only said this with the 2 days of Yom Tov, a regular Yom Tov. B'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah miyamar. But did he say this with regards to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? We know the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not kept out of doubt. It's a minhag that the Chachamim said we have to keep based on that one time we saw earlier that the Levi'im messed up in the Shir. So we have to keep it. It's all one full long day of holiness. It's not 2 days. But he responded to him and he said, but I thought the people of Nahardai said that even the egg is mutar. If you have an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's mutar to have on the second day. So why are you telling me that Rosh Hashanah is different? Amarle, Rav Mordechai responded to him. Rav Mordechai was the main student of Rav Ashe, so he was responding for him. Beferush amarle mor, delo savar leha de Nahardai. He said that Rav Ashe told him explicitly that we do not hold of the opinion of the Nahardei, the people of Nahardei, and therefore we don't agree. We say Rosh Hashanah is different, and therefore it's more strict because it's considered Yom Arichta, like one long day. But now the Gemara says, Itmar, Efrach shenolad b'yom tov, if you have a chick that was hatched on Yom Tov, Rav Amar Asur, Shmuel, V'itemar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mutar, and Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says, it's Mutar. Rav Amar Asur, Rav says it's forbidden, Muktehu, because it is considered Mukteh. You didn't have in mind that you can use that or eat that egg, that chicken on Yom Tov, so it's Asur. Ushmuel, V'itemar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mutar, Oil Matir Atom B'shchita. Shmuel says, no, it's permitted. Why? Now that it hatched on Yom Tov, you can take it and you can slaughter it. And from the fact that you slaughter it, you permit it by slaughtering it. Amri le Rav Kahana v'Rav Aseh le Rav. So they said to Rav, v'chima bin zeh le'egel shanala bin Yom Tov. Rav was the one who forbade it. So they ask him, what's the difference between this and a calf that's born on Yom Tov? We know a calf that's born on Yom Tov. The next Amud we're going to see, it's permitted. So what's the difference? Amar lehu, ho'il u'muchan agav imo b'shchita. Because a calf is permitted among, because of its mother, right, the kosher animal, and it gives birth to a calf on Yom Tov, it could have been slaughtered, the kosher animal, and you would have found the calf inside, and the calf could have been eaten. So since it could have been eaten agav its mother, from the mother, therefore it's different than this chicken that was hatched from an egg, where the egg is not ra'ui la'chila, you can't eat the egg peel, it has to hatch for it to be able to be eaten, which is not the same as the case of the calf. So now the Gemara asks, Uma bein zeh le'igel shenolad min ha'trefa. So what's the difference between this any calf that was born from a terifa animal. We know if a calf is born from a terifa animal, the calf can still be, it still is kasher, it could still be eaten. And over there, what do you have? You don't have, it's not mukhana gavimo, it's not prepared based on its mother, because if you slaughter the mother is a terifa, so it wouldn't be kosher in that case. So it says, shatik rav. Rav did not have an answer to that, he was silent. Amar Abba, v'itema Rav Yosef, ma'itama shatik rav. They asked, why was Rav silent in this case? Why doesn't Rav respond in this case that since this terifa animal that has the calf inside of it, the terifa, it's not fit for a human, but it is fit for dogs. They could have said that this terifa animal, since it's fit for dogs, so what comes out of it is not considered mukteh. Right, if it's born on Yom Tov, that's not mukta. Whereas the egg is different. The egg is not even ra'ui l'achila for a kelev. It's not even fit to be eaten for a dog. So why didn't Rav respond this? Amar le Abaye, we're on the next Amud. Abaye says, Hashta mukhan la'adam, lo havei mukhan l'klavim. He says that something that's prepared for a person is not prepared for a dog. What does he mean? Ditnan, as the Mishnah says, we saw this earlier, that you're allowed to cut the gourds in front of an animal to eat, and a non-kosher carcass of an animal in front of dogs to eat. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im lohi hayta nevela me'erev Shabbat asura." If it wasn't considered a nevela animal from erev Shabbat, then it's forbidden. Why? Lefisheina mina mukhan, because it's not something that was prepared to be given to an animal. So we see that something that was mukhan for an adam, for a person, is not prepared for a kelev, for a dog. So the Gemara says, "Mukhan leklavim, havi mukhan leadam." What? So something that wasn't prepared for a human is not prepared, is not allowed to be given to a dog. Now we're going to say mukhan leklavim, but something that's prepared for a dog, havi mukhan leadam, it is allowed to be eaten by a person. Meaning, what exactly is he saying? Rashi says, "Mukhan leadam lo havi mukhan leklavim." He says that something that's prepared for a person is not prepared for a dog. Lemanda idle mukteh, a person who holds the din of mukteh, dan nit namla b'shabbat, because it became a nevela on Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda etmol bein hashmashot hayita omedet la'adam. According to Rabbi Yehuda, yesterday before bein hashmashot, before twilight, it was still fit for a person to eat. V'kachashiv lemukteh behal legabei klavim, and still it considers it mukteh. Rabbi Yehuda considers it mukteh unless it became a nevela on erev Shabbat. But since it did not become nevela on erev Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda says since it was fit for a human, it does not become fit for a dog. So let's say this is how Abaye is answering. Abaye is saying, so too in our case, we can't say this animal is fit for a dog, because the Gemara is saying mukhan le'adam lo havi mukhan leklavim havi mukhan le'adam. Are we going to say that something that's prepared, that's fit for animals, does that become fit to be eaten by a human being? Obviously not. But the Gemara comes and says, amar le'in, no, it really is. It is fit for a human being to eat. And how does the Gemara explain it? It says mukhan le'adam lo havi mukhan leklavim. Something that is prepared or fit for a human being is not allowed to be eaten by a dog. If let's say now he wants to give it to a dog, why? Something that's fit for a human being, he's not going to throw it to a dog. If you have fit meat for yourself to eat, you're not going to throw that to a dog. Whereas mukhan leklavim, something that is fit to be eaten by a dog, havei mukhan leadam, it is considered prepared also for a human being for them to eat as well. Because a person's mindset, generally speaking, is on anything that is ra'ui l'achila, anything that's fit for him to be eaten. Fit for him to eat, and therefore, in this case, it would be this would be an answer, and it's a question on Rav as to why Rav didn't answer. Hey, why didn't you answer saying ho'il umuchan agav imo leklavim? Because it's fit by its mother to be given to a dog. Since you can give it to a dog, so too it would be fit for a human being as well, which would be the egel, the calf that would come out of it, and that is the difference between this and the case of the egg from the previous amud. Okay, jumping now into a new topic. The one says, Tanak Vete Dirav, not necessarily a new topic, jumping into that same topic we were just discussing, but now, it's like a gufa sort of, like going back onto what we just said. Tanak Vete Dirav, Tanak Vete Dishmuel, Breita like each of their opinions. Vitem Rabbi Yochanan, some say like Rabbi Yochanan. Tanak Vete Dirav, Breita like Rav, Egel Shonalad Biyom Tov, if you have a calf that's born on Yom Tov, mutar, it's permitted. If Roch Shonalad Biyom Tov, asur, but if you have a chick that hatched on Yom Tov, it would be forbidden. Umay Fresh Ben Zelazeh, and what's the difference between the two? Ze Mukhan Agav Imo Beshchita, Ze Eno Mukhan Agav Imo Beshchita. The calf is permitted because its mother if it were to be slaughtered, it would be allowed to be eaten. So too, what comes out of it would be allowed to be eaten. Whereas the chick that hatched from the egg cannot be eaten. So the chick that comes out of it also is not allowed to be eaten. Tanaka v'edetem Shmuel. We have a bright like Shmuel v'yitem Rabbi Yochanan. Some say it was Rabbi Yochanan. Egel shenulad b'yom tov. If you have a calf that is born on Yom Tov, mutar. V'efroch shenulad b'yom tov, mutar. And also a chick that hatched on Yom Tov is also mutar. Ma'itama, what's the reason? Zeh muchan agav imo. V'zeh metir atmo b'shchita. He says that the calf, it permits itself from its mother. And the chick permits itself because now it can be slaughtered and can be eaten. So it permits itself through slaughtering. So that supports both opinions. Tanu Rabbanan, Efroch shenulad b'yom tov asur, a chick that hatches on Yom Tov is forbidden. Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov says, af bechol asur, even during the weekday it's forbidden, not only on Yom Tov, because it did not open its eyes. Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov, we saw this earlier as well, he's of the opinion that anything that is not fully formed, has come out into the world, and it hasn't opened its eyes yet, is considered like a sheretz, which the Gemara is about to say. Kiman azla hadatanya, who is this baraita like? Lekol sheretz ha-shoretz ala aretz. What is it coming to add? Lekol hasheret. What is it coming to add? Lerabot efrochim shloni tvatcho inehim. To include chicks that hatched that did not open their eyes yet, which are included in a sheret, which is asur to eat. So he says, Keman, who is this like? Kerib Eliezer ben Yaakov. Like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara says, Amarav huna, Amarav. Beitza im yitziata nigmera. A egg, when it comes out, it is fully formed. What does that mean? My im yetziata nigmera. What exactly does that mean? Ilema im yetziata nigmera umuteret la'ochla bechalav. Maybe it means that once the egg comes out, it's completely formed and it's permitted to eat with milk. Habimeima asura la'ochla bechalav. What? But if you slaughtered an animal and you found the eggs inside the animal and they were fully formed, is that forbidden to eat with milk? Va'atanya, but we have a baraita that says the opposite. Hashochet et tarnagolet. If a person slaughters a tarnagolet, umatzav ha'beitim gemurot, and you find fully formed eggs, mutara la'ochla bechalav. You're allowed to eat it with milk. So clearly, even if you find it inside the stomach, it's allowed to be eaten with milk. So it can't be talking about, that cannot be the explanation of what fully formed, of when it comes out, it means it's fully formed means. Ela, imitziatanig mera. What does it mean when it comes out it's fully formed? Umuteret la'ochla b'yom tov, and you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. So what can we infer from that? Habimeima, that if you found it after slaughtering, you found fully formed eggs in the stomach, asura la'ochla b'yom tov, you're not allowed to eat it with on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, is that true? Ba'atanya, we have a baraita, ha'shochet ez ha'tarnagolet u'matza b'beitim gemurot, mutarot la'ochla b'yom tov. That if you slaughter a chicken and you find full formed eggs inside the stomach on Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. This goes against what we just said from our inference. Now the Gemara says, "V'chitema kamashmalan." Maybe the Beraita is coming to teach us something. Beraita, my delo ashmeinan b'matnitin. So the Beraita is coming to teach something that the Mishnah didn't say. Meaning, the Beraita is coming to give us a bigger chidush. The Mishnah did not say. But now the Gemara says, "Is that really the case?" Hanami tanina. It was actually even taught in the Mishnah. Beitza shenoda b'yom tov. If you have a chick, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, Beit Shammai amrim te'achel, Beit Hillel amrim lo te'achel. Beit Shammai says you're allowed to eat it. Beit Hillel says you're not allowed to eat it. Ve'ad kan lo pligi. Beit Shammai Beit Hillel ela benolda. And in this case of our first Mishnah that we discussed, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were only arguing if it was laid on Yom Tov. Aval b'meim an divrei kol sharyan. But whenever you slaughter an animal, you find the eggs fully formed in the mother's stomach, everyone, even Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, both agree that it's mutar to eat. So clearly, it's not a chidush, the Braita saying that we didn't have our Mishnah. We had this in the Mishnah as well. So what is it talking about? So Gemara asks, V'chid tema, Beit Hillel afilo b'mei iman nami asere. Maybe Beit Hillel, when they said in the Mishnah that it's asur to eat, they forbid it, even if you slaughter an animal and you find fully formed eggs, maybe they forbid that. V'hai dekatani nolda. So why did our Mishnah say that if it was laid, then it's asur? It's pasur if it's laid, it's asur, according to Beit Hillel. He says, even if you find it inside the stomach, it's asur. So what was the chidush that he was saying, nolda? Le'odiacha kochan de Beit Shammai, afilo nolda nami sharu. That he was trying to, they were trying to teach in our Mishnah the strength of the opinion of Beit Shammai, that even when it's born, even when it's laid the egg, it would still be permitted according to Beit Shammai. So Ela Hadatanya, that which we have in our Braita, Hashochet et Tarnagolet, Matzav Beitzim Gemurot, Mutarot La'ochlan B'Yom Tov. That which is said in our Braita, that if you slaughter a chicken and you find fully formed eggs, you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. Mani, who is it? Lo Beit Shammai, Velo Beit Hillel. It's neither the opinion of Beit Shammai or the opinion of Beit Hillel. Right, why is that the case? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Lo beit shamai d'ma yiriya b'mei ima." Why would you know the Beraita be specifying specifically if you find it in the stomach? I feel nolda b'yom tov shariya. Beit shamai is of the opinion that even if it's laid on yom tov, it would be permitted. Lo beit hilal d'afilu b'mei ima nasiriyan. And even beit hilal cannot be them because they say that if you find it in the stomach of the mother, it's asur. So who is the author of this Beraita? Lo beit shamai v'lo beit hilal. Ela im tziata nigmera u'megadelet ifrachim. So it says, what does it mean that when it comes out, it's fully formed? It means that it's also megadelet efrachim. It also it hatches chickens. It hatches other chicks. Meaning, it's if something comes out, that means it's fully formed. With regards to laws of mekach or memkar, if someone buys something, it would be considered an egg that we know will hatch chicks. Why does that matter? So it's coming to infer that if you slaughter a chicken and you find full-formed eggs inside the stomach, you know that those full-formed eggs inside the stomach, those eggs will not lay, will not hatch chickens. The ma'inafkamina. So what's the difference? Who cares if it does or it does not hatch other chicks? The mekach or memkar. Coming to teach us the rules of mekach or memkar. That if you go and buy, let's say, you say, I want an egg, and I want this egg to hatch me chicks. I want chicks to come from it, and I want to be able to have those chicks. And someone gives you eggs, and those eggs that they give you do not have the ability to hatch chickens. You're allowed to go back and say, I want a refund. This is not what I asked for, based on this gemara. Have a great day.